Switchback by Eric Saward, with John Hollis as Detective Inspector Marlin and Roger Hume as Detective Inspector Moore. Switchback.
Good evening, sir.
Do you realise what speed you were doing?
I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking.
You do know this area is restricted to 30 miles per hour.
I do.
Can I see your driver's licence, sir?
Yes, of course. I've got it here somewhere.
Is this your car, sir?
Yes.
Do you know the registration number?
VHB807S. Here you are.
Thank you, sir. How long have you lived in Grosvenor Avenue, Mr. Rosenberg?
Oh, a couple of years.
Then you should be more thoughtful about how you drive around your own neighbourhood.
It was an unthinking act. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. Perhaps in future you'll remember the speed limit.
I can go?
Yes, Mr. Rosenberg.
Thank you very much.
Your licence, sir.
Thank you. Good night.
Just a moment.
Sorry?
Have you been drinking, sir?
Bloody hell. How many games have you won this month?
Four. Do you want another?
Are you out to humiliate me?
Of course not. Just giving you a chance for revenge, Gardner.
So you keep saying.
All right, Gov. Nothing 6 months in an orthopedic corset won't cure.
Oh, I think I'm getting too old for this lark.
We don't play often enough.
My pride and what it can only stand so much, you know.
John.
Who's that? It's all. Bloody hell. What are you doing here?
Same as you. Enjoying a game of squad.
Oh, is that what I was supposed to have been up to? Do you know my sergeant?
I've seen him around.
Me and old mate of mine, Ron. Sergeant Ron Sutton, Inspector Bill Moore.
How's it do, sir?
Good time for a drink, Bill.
Of course.
You know, the best thing about playing squash is the beer afterwards. Even though I do have to pay for it myself.
Not for much longer. You improve with every game.
He's been saying that all year.
You come down here often?
No, but he does.
Oh, let's get together for a game.
Yeah, I like that.
Save all that wear and tear on this poor old geriatric.
Thank you. Do I gather from your attempt to monopolise my sergeant's spare time that your tour of duty with the security service is at an end?
Almost.
What were you doing over there?
Liaison officer, but never again.
Rough?
It has to be experienced to be believed. No one would tell anyone else what was supposed to be going on, least of all me.
Why did you stay so long?
I had no choice. I had to do the full 6 month stint.
You shouldn't have been so good. Oh. I was only there for a month.
When was that?
About 4 years ago. I remember there was some cesspit around called Harvey. My bastard he was. Said that my reports were the most illiterate documents he'd ever read. It was amazing how much my written English improved once I was out of his sight.
Harvey's still there.
God help us. He's the sort who declared a Queen Mum an undesirable alien.
Who's replacing you?
I don't know yet.
So, what you up to meantime?
Oh, I'm still working for them. But at least they're allowing me to work out a special branch on this one.
Oh, yeah? Anything interesting?
Not really. Some FO type kicked the bucket down in Brighton last weekend. Heart attack.
Oh, sounds like a case of a dirty weekend proving to be too much.
I don't think people with a name like Soot would go in for that sort of weekend.
Soot? You're joking.
Straight up. Michael Soot.
It's only at the Foreign Office you can get away with a name like that.
Well, if this bloke died from an heart attack, what's the problem?
Oh, nothing really. It's just that he booked into a hotel under an assumed name.
Well, who'd believe you if you signed the register with a name like Soot?
The FO don't appreciate little jokes like that. I've now got to find out where he was and who he saw prior to his arrival in Brighton.
Well, are they suspect something?
No, it's just routine. And to give me something to do. I'm their man and happen to be free at the moment. Mm. It's really work for a detective constable.
Well, you'll get a trip to Brighton out of it.
Who wants to go to Brighton at this time of the year?
Excuse me, sir. Are you Inspector Marlin?
Yes, I am.
Superintendent Hunter phoned. He says, can you and Sergeant Sutton report in immediately?
Oh, how the hell did he know we were here? Look, can you ring him, say you miss me?
Well, you did say it were important, sir.
You better go, John.
Yeah. I'm sorry about this, mate.
Well, we can booze tomorrow.
Oh, without fail.
Oh, come in, Marlin.
Sir.
Sorry to have to call you back so late. Sit down. Now, do you know Ralph Rosenberg?
Yeah, I know of him. One of the leading lights in the organisation to fight fascism, isn't he?
Correct. Now, I've just had a phone call saying he's been arrested on a charge of drunken driving.
So?
Well, Commander Armstrong feels this might be a good opportunity to search Rosenberg's office.
Officially?
Well, it can be made official.
What, on a drunk driving charge?
Well, it could possibly be drunk.
Well, that sounds better.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently Rosenberg was carrying some white capsules. He says they're, yes, here we are. An appetite depressant described by his doctor.
What does his doctor say?
Well, unfortunately, she isn't available this evening. And the relief doctor doesn't have access to Rosenberg's file. In fact, we can't check his story until tomorrow morning.
Oh, it's not much, is it? I mean, Rosenberg isn't your average thicko. If he found out we'd been through his office, he could cause quite a lot of trouble.
Yeah, well, that's why I want you to handle it. You're the best search leader I've got.
Is that so?
Mm. Well, won't the drug squad object to SB trespassing on their patch?
Well, Mr. Armstrong will clear it, if necessary.
How much time would I have?
All night, if you need it.
You mean your man can guarantee to keep Rosenberg away from a phone that long?
Yes.
Well, what about a wife or girlfriend? Won't they have to be informed of his arrest?
Well, fortunately, he's void of both at the moment. Will you do it?
Oh, isn't there anybody else, sir?
Not as good as you. I want the best. Someone who would do a clean, neat job.
Can I choose my own team?
Anyone you like.
All right.
What are we looking for, sir?
A membership list will be useful. Otherwise, photocopy anything that looks interesting.
Ugh, what time is it?
Hmm? 3:25.
Yeah, I've seen some messy offices in my time, but this beats all. It's taken me nearly an hour to go through this desk. The most interesting thing I've found is an unpaid electricity bill.
I'll swap you, my bin, for your desk.
What have you got?
43 dog ends, 16 paper handkerchiefs, 7 attempts to write the same letter, and a spent ballpoint pen.
Yeah, we're losing our sleep over a waste of time.
I don't know. One of these doggins is still smokable.
How are you doing with those filing cabinets, Constable?
Nothing, yes, sir.
You think they were expecting us?
Nah. I've seen this before. They're just very careful people. We'd probably have to raid a dozen different homes to get half a picture of what was going on inside this organisation.
Sir, do you mind coming over here?
Yeah. What have you got?
It might not be anything, but a bit of floorboard here. It's been screwed down.
Oh, yeah.
From the look at things quite recently.
Well, they probably had an electrician or a plumber in.
Well, there's one way to find out. Stop waving that screwdriver around as though you were Malcolm Sargent. Get the bloody thing up.
Right.
Nothing.
Get your arm down there and feel around.
Oh, must I?
Get on with it. Anything?
No. Oh. Yeah.
No. Let's have it out. Try not to handle it too much.
Here we are.
Any seals or markings?
Not that I can see.
Right. Open it.
Hello. Wallet files.
So I can see. Well, are you just going to stare at them and try and guess what's inside?
Yeah. No, sir.
Well, get them open.
Bloody hell.
Bit of a surprise, isn't it?
How'd they get hold of them?
Now, how the hell should I know?
What are they, sir?
Photocopies of SB personality files.
All right. Keep the noise down.
You.
Yeah, sir.
Get this lot parceled up and back to forensic.
Right, sir.
And the rest of you can get the remainder of this carpet up. I want to see if there are any more little pots of gold waiting to be found.
I find it a bit of an irony. Here we are, photocopying everything in the office, and someone's already done the same in our own backyard.
Yeah. Well, I hope Hunter and Armstrong see the humour of the situation.
Are you going to let the super know about this?
Of course. I see no reason why he should continue to have a quiet night in bed. No one else is.
Marlin.
Yes, sir.
Your search warrant.
Yeah. It's a bit late. Thanks all the same.
How much have you got so far?
Just the 8 personality files.
Where were they found?
Near that radiator.
I'm going to murder that bloody Rosenberg when I get my hands on him.
Could I have a word, sir?
Mm-hmm. What?
Well, I'm not at all happy about what we've found here.
What do you mean?
Well, it doesn't feel right. I've searched hundreds of places in my time. Sometimes things have been hidden with imagination and skill. They've taken us days to find. Others have been the work of morons where you found the stuff in the first couple of minutes.
So?
Well, it's more than apparent that Rosenberg's people are very careful about keeping everything out of sight. We found nothing else of any value. So why should they leave the very documents that could blow their organisation apart hidden in such an obvious place? It doesn't make sense. It
took you half the night to find them.
Well, that's because we were more interested in what was in their desks and filing cabinets. If we'd followed standard procedure, we would have found that floorboard within the first 10 minutes.
Look, if you were Rosenberg, would you want to keep that stuff at home?
No. But burying it in a bloody field would have made more sense than where we found it.
Well, I'll bear that in mind when I talk to him. At the moment, the question that concerns me most is who made those photocopies.
Well, forensic may come up with some of the answers.
And those they don't will be your job to supply.
Me? Hmm. Oh, no, that's work for an outside team. It isn't ethical to ask me to investigate my own mates.
An official inquiry will be made. But Mr. Armstrong wants you to find the person involved. He wants to show the Home Office we can clear up our own vomit.
Oh, come on, that isn't fair.
Talk it over with Sutton and get yourself a couple of hours sleep. If you still feel so strongly in the morning, see Mr. Armstrong. But I'm telling you now, the way he feels about what's happened, he'll probably suspend you if you refuse.
Good morning, sir.
Carter.
Oh, you all right?
I hope so. I played squash last night for the first time in weeks.
You have my condolences.
A word of warning. Never play someone 15 years younger than you. It's a very painful way of finding out about the generation gap. He had me running across the ceiling after that ball.
I'll bear it in mind, sir.
Right. Now, what's this lot?
I think there's been some sort of mix-up. There are things here we shouldn't have.
Well, that's a relief.
This is a report from the Brighton police on Soot's death. Unfortunately, it isn't complete.
And that?
Well, this is supposed to be a special branch report on Soot's death.
What are they doing wasting our time if the branch is already involved?
Seems we had a team in Brighton covering a convention there. It was they who reported the incident to the security people.
I see.
This folder contains a report on the convention the SB team were covering. Well, that must have come to us by mistake.
The International Soft Fruit Growers and Canners Association. I bet that'll make fascinating reading. Is there a report from the security people?
No, just a minute of the briefing we had yesterday.
What about Soot's engagement book?
Nope.
I'd better give him a ring.
Well, when you do, perhaps you could ask what's happened to the pathologist's report on Soot.
Do we need it?
Not really. I'm just concerned it might be lost.
Oh, I'll check with the police in Brighton, see if they've got it.
Don't need to. It's in their report. The security service took Soot's body away.
Before the post-mortem?
Yes. They wanted to perform their own.
That's very strange. Where's the body now?
I assume the security service still have it.
I'll give Whitehead a ring. See if he can tell me what's going on.
Rod?
Oh, Parker.
You just in?
No, I've been here about half an hour.
Oh, sorry, I'm late. I overslept.
Well, they've got Rosenberg here. Not that he's made a statement yet.
Well, I hope he hurries up. What's the atmosphere like in the office?
Quiet.
They heard about the files being copied.
Oh, yeah. You try and keep a thing like that secret.
Yeah. So they probably know what we're up to as well.
Well, no one's said anything.
Yet. I could kill Armstrong for lumbering us with this, you know.
Well, that's one way of getting out of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not upsetting anyone until I've heard what Rosenberg's got to say.
Well, what do we do while we're waiting?
Well, we make ourselves scarce for a bit.
What about Armstrong and Hunter? Don't take it too kindly if they find us hiding in the bog.
Well, I thought of somewhere better.
Where?
Records. We can keep out of the way until Rosenberg's performed. At the same time, do a little checking.
On what?
For someone to have copied those files, they must have taken them out of records, right?
Mm-hmm.
To do that, you have to sign for them.
Yeah.
So we'll start by finding out whose autograph they have in common.
I know it isn't your fault, but surely someone's in charge when they're out. If you could check. Thank you. 6 months I worked with that lot, and they can still make me angry.
What's the matter?
Whitehead's in Brighton, and his assistant has gone over to the Home Office, and neither of the secretaries knows who's in charge while they're away.
Why?
I mean, can you believe it? There's supposed to be security. I'm convinced they wouldn't tell each other World War III had started.
Why not ring Martin Cook? He's always friendly and seems to know what's going on.
That's your point.
When is Whitehead expected back?
This evening.
Something must be going on for him still to be trawling off down there. I mean, Sook did die 3 days ago, and it was supposed to be of natural causes.
It's probably just an excuse to get out of the office.
Yeah, I doubt whether the police in Brighton are any too pleased to have him hanging around.
Cook?
Oh, good morning, Martin. It's Bill Moore.
Ah, hello, Bill. What can I do for you?
I'm supposed to be working on the Soot case, trying to establish what he did prior to his arrival in Brighton.
Yeah?
Well, I need his engagement book and any background info you have on him, like friends or relations he might have seen that day. Whitehead was supposed to supply this, but he's shoved off to Brighton without passing it on.
Well, have you spoken to Maxwell?
He's over at the Home Office, and his secretary doesn't know when he's due back.
I see.
Is there anything you can do? I'm stymied without that information.
I can try, but it's in my investigation.
Well, can you at least find out who's supposed to be babysitting while Whitehead's away?
All right. I'll see what I can do.
I'm very grateful, Martin. Oh, and should you come across the pathologist report on Soot, you'd make my sergeant very happy.
Yeah, I'll let you know what I can find out.
Many thanks. Bye.
Bye now.
Can you give records a ring? See if they've got anything on Soot.
Right.
More?
Good morning. Detective Inspector Miles, Serious Crime Squad.
Oh, good morning.
Your duty officer tells me you're involved in the investigation concerning the death of Michael Soot.
Superficially?
Well, I might have something for you.
Really? What?
I'd rather not talk about it on the phone. Can you pop down?
Where are you?
Third floor, room 316.
All right. I'll be down in a few minutes.
Records will call back.
We might not need them.
Why, what is it?
Our CID cousins have come up with something on Soot.
Well, what do you think?
Fascinating.
What's been happening?
According to this statement, a gentleman by the name of John Stiles spent last Sunday afternoon breaking into the safe in Michael Soot's flat.
You're joking?
I'm not. But Mr. Stiles might be.
How did you find him?
We arrested him yesterday evening for a job we thought he was involved in at Camden Town. But we no sooner got him in here than he announced he couldn't have been there because on Sunday afternoon he was tickling that safe in Soot's flat.
He obviously thinks it's the lesser of the two jobs.
That's right. The Camden Town thing is robbery with violence. He'll get 15 years if he's convicted.
Do you believe him, sir?
Well, he's certainly been in the flat. He could describe it too accurately not to have been. But, he was there when he said he was, I don't know.
You've been to Soot's flat, have you?
Yes, earlier this morning. That's how I learned Soot was dead. A neighbour said the police had been to his flat on Monday.
Well, that wasn't us. Must have been the security service. We've only just become involved.
Do you want to talk to Stiles?
I do indeed. Is he downstairs?
Yes.
What sort of mood is he in?
Oh, he's quite chatty at the moment. I think he's enjoying himself.
Oh, we'll soon change that. John Stiles?
Yeah?
I'm Detective Inspector Moore. This is Detective Sergeant Carter.
What's happened to Mr. Miles?
Oh, he thought I should have a word with you.
Are you in charge of this other job?
That's right. And I'm here to see if you can convince me you did it.
Well, that's no problem.
But were you there last Sunday? Or were you over at Camden Town knocking the living daylights out of some poor old security guard?
Violence isn't my way, Mr. Moore. That's not me at all.
Ah, we'll see. Now, in your statement, you say you were recruited for this job by someone called Reg Parker.
That's right.
Who's he?
He's a middleman. You want something doing, Reg finds the best man for the job.
Do you know who he was recruiting for?
No. And that's the truth.
So, how was the job set up?
Well, now, that's the strangest part of it. It was more like a military operation than pulling a job, you know what I mean?
Tell me.
Well, Reg chatted me up about the job last Saturday evening.
Where?
At a pub in Shepherd's Bush. Now, he said it was a rush job, but it would be well paid.
Did he tell you when the job was going to happen?
No, only that it would be soon, and I was to wait at home till I heard from him.
When did he get in touch again?
He belled me Sunday morning and said I was to meet him at the pub at lunchtime for instructions and the first half of the Crinkleys.
What details did he give you about the job?
None. He just said I was to come prepared for anything. Oh, and that the safe would have to be opened without leaving any marks.
Didn't he even describe the safe to you?
No.
Didn't that surprise you?
Not for the sort of Crinkleys he was offering.
What sort of instructions did he give you?
He said I was to be at Warren Street Station at 3 o'clock that afternoon. I was to wear a suede jacket, and in my left hand I was to carry a hat, and in the right, a document case.
You must have looked a treat.
Well, I wouldn't have minded if I had to scout round to borrow a bleeding hat.
What was to happen when you got to Warren Street?
I had to walk down Tottenham Court Road on the left-hand side towards Centre Point. Needless to say, it was persisting down, ruined a bloody jacket.
Check, it was raining 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon in the Tottenham Court Road area.
Your right, bloody favour, you don't trust anyone, do you?
That's right.
You get on with the story.
Well, the procedure was that some woman wearing jeans and a black duffel coat would brush up against me left shoulder. When that happened, I was to drop the hat.
And did it?
Yeah. And a few seconds later, a car pulled up, driven by this bloke.
What sort of car?
Cortina.
Colour?
Blue.
Did you notice anything else about it?
Yeah. It had two aerials, you know, like for a two-way radio.
Was the car fitted with one?
Well, it could have been. I didn't see it.
Anything else?
Oh, I think its year letter was S, but I'm not sure.
Well, then what happened?
Well, I got in a car and we drove off, picking a bird up a bit further down the road.
Did you go straight to Soot's flat?
Well, more or less. I had to collect my gear for the safe. I mean, I don't want to carry that sort of stuff around the streets, do I?
Would you recognise either of them again?
Might. I don't know. I was both wearing duffel coats with the hoods up. The bird was young. Well, youngish, about 30. Well, didn't take much notice of the bloke.
Did they talk much?
Hardly said a word.
So, you reached the flat and you let them in?
That's right.
And then what happened?
Well, first thing I do is open up a filing cabinet. And while they're going through it, I start on the safe.
What did they take from the cabinet?
I don't know. Papers? I had two suitcases with them. Yeah, one was a portable photocopier. Bloody neat they are. Have you seen them?
Did they take much away?
No. We photocopied a few things, though.
How long did it take you to open the safe?
Oh, about 3.5 hours. It was a doddle, really. Safe was a load of old rubbish. In fact, I had it open before they finished going through the cabinet. I was reading everything.
And what did they take from the safe?
Now, that's the weird thing. They didn't. They put something in it.
What?
A folder.
Did you see what it was?
Well, not really. I remember the cover was green.
Did they photocopy anything from the safe?
Well, some papers. Not much, though.
I see. How long were you in the flat?
For about 4 hours in all.
So you were finished about 7?
Well, near 7:30. It took about 30 minutes to pick my gear up.
And you've no idea at all what was photocopied or the papers that were taken away?
Well, I told you.
What do you think they were up to?
I haven't the foggiest, honest. When I saw the photocopier, I thought it was a bit of industrial. But if you're stealing secrets, you don't usually leave things behind, do you?
No.
Do you know what they were up to?
Well, let me put it this way, Stiles. You may well live to wish you'd been charged with the Camden Town job.
Now what? I want you to find Reg Parker. I want to know who he was middleman for.
Right, sir.
And I want to know soon. Check with records. See if they've got his address.
Can I take Benson with me?
If he's free. But don't involve anyone else at the moment.
Good morning, sir.
Oh, hello, Sutton.
How's your Mr. Soot?
Still dead and growing more mysterious by the minute.
hear you wouldn't like to swap jobs.
Not if the rumour I've just heard about you and Marlin is true.
It's a super's idea. He calls it cleaning up our own vomit.
How's it going?
Well, keeping out of sight for the time being. Sort of hoping Rosenberg will crack, or the official investigation will come up with something first.
Has it started yet?
Well, I haven't heard anything. I think we're about to.
What do you mean?
Behind you.
Oh, good God, it's Harvey. Now, if I could have your attention, please, gentlemen. I dare say you've all heard about the rather unpleasant discovery that was made early this morning. As the documents copied are only available to SB personnel, I'm afraid we're all under suspicion. And that being so, we're subject to an independent investigation. Now, that investigation is to be supervised by the gentleman here on my left, Mr. John Harvey. Needless to say, I expect all of you to offer his team every cooperation.
Mr. Harvey? I would just like to say that my intention is to make this investigation as painless as possible and to avoid any unnecessary disruption to the general running of this department. Hopefully, this unfortunate incident will be cleared up as quickly as possible. Thank you.
So, now we know.
So at least your troubles are over?
Oh, I hope so.
Harvey may be a bastard, but he's also very effective. More?
It's Martin Cook, Bill. Can we meet for lunch?
I'm a bit busy at the moment.
It's important.
Is it about soot?
I don't want to talk about it on the phone.
All right. What about the feathers? In, say, half an hour?
See you then.
Hello, Ted. I would have paid me compliments earlier, but I got sidetracked.
You heard about those bloody files?
That's it.
Why is it when there's any trouble they get you to rake out the clinkers?
Oh, of course, I'm good at poking about.
That's your story. I reckon you enjoy it.
Oh, not this one, Ted.
Take a few.
Mate.
So what do you want to see me for? Or do you think I did it?
I doubt it, Ted. I know how much you value your pension. Now, what I want from you is information.
What?
How will I get 8 files out of your department without signing for them?
It's not possible.
I've got news for you.
Well, let's say I wouldn't know how to do it. And I bloody well run the place.
All right. Apart from your staff, who else has access to the files?
No one.
What about the cleaners?
I doubt whether it's one of them. Supervision's too close. Anyway, they wouldn't know where to look.
That's a point. Are all the files here on the central computer?
Oh, no. A lot of the information here is classified. It's not available to everyone.
What about the ones copied?
Those especially.
Is there any way an outsider could get in here?
Can't see it myself.
Neither can I, really. So, what about your staff?
Do I suspect any of them?
Yep.
Well, no reason to. They're all good people, the highest security clearance.
Anyone left recently?
Nope. Last one was 6 months ago. That was a promotion.
Right. Well, thanks for your help. I'll just have to see what these files tell me.
Where are you taking them?
Fingerprints. I'm interested to see if there are any dabs present that belong to people who haven't signed for them.
Oh, sorry I'm late.
That's all right. That pint's for you.
Oh, thanks. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, that's good. So, what about this phone call of yours?
Yes, I'm sorry about that. It probably sounded more melodramatic than I intended it to.
What's up?
Well, after your call this morning, I started asking around about soot. And, to put it mildly, the response was very negative.
In what way?
Well, people you'd expect to know what was going on were unaware soot had even died. Or at least that's what they said.
Your lot never were much for telling each other anything.
I'm fully aware of your views on the security service, but this was different. For example, no one seemed to know where Soot's engagement book was. It was by pure luck I managed to locate it in the cipher department.
What was it doing there?
They said it was routine. Whitehead had asked them to give it the once-over. I told them you were waiting for it, but they didn't have any authorization to pass it on.
Whitehead said he was going to arrange for me to receive a photocopy of it.
Memo's probably sitting in their inn and they haven't bothered to look yet.
Typical.
But there's more. I then went to the pathology department and was told that the report on Soot's death had been withheld owing to certain irregularities.
You're not going to tell me he didn't die from a heart attack?
No. That was the cause of death. The irregularity was that he'd been moved after his death.
What?
I couldn't get any real details, but I gather they think Soot died somewhere else and was carried back to his hotel room. Did you know he'd been dead 36 hours before he was discovered?
No, I bloody well didn't. When did he die?
About 11 o'clock Saturday morning. And his body was discovered 9:30 Sunday evening.
Well, let me tell you something. About an hour ago, I spoke to someone who claims to have broken into Soot's flat on Sunday afternoon for the sole purpose of returning a folder to his safe.
Do you believe him?
I certainly do now. And from what you've just told me, I think Soot's body was hidden deliberately so that could happen.
Do you know what was in the folder?
No.
Have you told Whitehead?
He's in Brighton.
Oh. Well, when you do, I'd be grateful if you would omit the bits I've just related to you. To do without having to cope with his wrath. Oh, yes, there is one other thing I heard. I don't know if it fits in anyway, but apparently there was a convention of fruit growers in Brighton over the weekend.
I know. Some of our people covered it.
Well, it might be worthwhile casting your eye over their report. It seems there was some concern about what was going on there.
To do with Soot?
Yeah, so it seems.
Any idea what it's about?
Nope. My informant was very vague. I didn't feel I could press him on the matter.
It would be useful to know. Is there any way you could find out?
I don't know. I might have already pushed my luck as it is.
Well, anything would be useful. The same with any background on what Soot was working on when he died.
I'll see what I can do, but I'm not promising anything.
Well, come in, Mark. It's nice to have you back in the office.
Thank you, sir.
Sit down. So, what can I do for you?
I need some advice.
Mm-hmm.
You know that I'm still officially attached to Whitehead Section.
Yes.
Well, I've stumbled onto something concerning his case that I'd rather like to follow up.
Oh. What's your problem?
At the moment, I don't particularly want to tell him what I'm up to.
Why not?
Well, I think there's some sort of cover-up going on, and I want to know why.
You realize Whitehead isn't a man to rub up the wrong way?
No, I know, sir. That's why I want to be sure of my position, if possible.
Well, there's nothing I can do for you.
Well, at the moment, Whitehead's in Brighton, and as far as I'm concerned, he's unavailable. The thing I want to know is whether I have the authority to continue on my own judgment, or must I wait until I've consulted him?
Well, that depends on how important you consider the situation.
Well, I've no doubt about its importance. I'm just concerned about treading on Whitehead's toes, and the sort of reaction it might cause.
Well, you won't know that until it happens.
Could he have me suspended?
He can certainly kick you off the case and suspend you from liaison duties.
But could he have me suspended from the special branch?
No. No, he can only report you to Armstrong. It will be up to him.
How's my standing with Armstrong?
Reasonable. I know that he likes you. But I wouldn't bank on his support if you cock things up. You know what he can be like. Hunter?
Detective Sergeant Carter, sir. Could I speak to Mr. Moore?
Right, just a moment. It's for you.
Moore?
It's Carter, sir. I found Reg Parker.
Where?
Shepherd's Bush Nick. He's been held for receiving.
Has he told you who he's middleman for?
Yes, a man called Arthur Johnson.
Get all the gen you can on him. I'll be over as soon as possible.
Right.
Well, it seems I'm committed whether I like it or not.
All I can say is don't get carried away.
I'll try not to, sir.
And make sure you record what you're doing in your diary. It will go in your favour should you find yourself up before a disciplinary board.
Where to?
Johnson's garage in Uxbridge Road.
Right.
So, what do we know about Johnson?
Well, it isn't that much, but he does have form, mainly in stolen cars.
Anything recent?
Nope. In many ways, Johnson seems to be considered the local joke.
Hmm?
You know, apparently, a few months ago, he almost lost his garage because he couldn't pay the rent.
How did he get out of that?
It seems the agent who handles the garage took pity on him and negotiated some sort of deal to pay off the arrears.
Was this checked?
Oh, yes. I mean, quite naturally, the local police thought he'd been up to something. But Johnson was able to produce a contract.
Who are the agents?
A company called Barrow Associates.
When Johnson approached Parker, did he give an indication why he wanted a Peter McKay?
None. All Johnson said was that he wanted the best and that money was no object.
We've just turned into the Uxbridge Road, sir.
Right. When we get to the garage, park on the opposite side of the road.
Right, sir.
How are you going to handle Johnson?
Carefully, until we have some idea how involved he is. When we get there, you and I are going to have a word with him. And while we're doing that, I want you, Benson, to have a discreet look around.
Am I looking for anything in particular, sir?
Possibly a blue Cortina with two aerials, but no obvious radio inside. The registration number may have the year letter S.
And if I find the car?
Come and tell me at once. But give us a couple of minutes to find Johnson before you start nosing around.
Right, sir.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, Chief?
Police.
Oh. And what do you want?
A word.
Talk is time, and time's money, Chief. And I've got a business to run. You want to talk to me? Make an appointment.
We talk here or down at the Nick. It's up to you.
Oh, yeah? You want to get any more little jokes like that off your chest while you're at it?
Be sensible, man. You're only making trouble for yourself.
Look, if you want to talk to me or get me down the Nick, let's hear the charge. But if you haven't got one, on your bike.
We want to talk to you about a friend of yours.
I haven't got any friends.
What about Reg Parker?
Never heard of him.
Then you will want to come down to the Nick to prefer charges against him.
Oh, yeah?
Defamation of character is a very serious offence.
So is trespass. Now get out of my garage.
Reg is saying that you asked him to get hold of a good Peterman.
Reg is talking through his watchet.
That's what I thought at first. After all, cars are your speciality.
Were. I've retired.
So why should Reg spread this story about you?
Perhaps he likes to make the filth look stupid.
Not on this occasion. You see, we've got the Peterman he employed for you. He's been very cooperative as well.
Oh, yeah? So you're going to charge me with something, are you?
You want to make a statement?
Look, push off. You're groping in the bloody dark. You know as well as I do, I wouldn't touch a safe.
I suppose you don't know anything about the blue Cortina used in the robbery, either.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't think you would. Come on, Carter.
An old-fashioned hard nut.
All the more enjoyable to crack.
Now why didn't you drop on him what happened at Soot's flat?
Because I don't think it would have meant anything.
Hmm?
I get the feeling his part in all this was no more than recruiting the safe man and possibly supplying the car. As with Stiles, he's probably been told no more than was necessary.
Yes. I find the isolated unit aspect of this case quite interesting. I've not come across it being used in this way before by villains.
Let's hope the style is unique enough for records to identify the organizing brain.
Sorry I was so long.
Did you find anything?
I'm not sure. There's a lock-up garage at the back with a car in it.
Did you see the colour?
No, I could only get a glimpse of the radiator grille, but I think it's a Cortina.
Oh, good work. Move the car along a bit, but so that you can still see the garage entrance. It's just possible Johnson might try and get rid of the car.
Is there a back entrance to the garage?
No, I checked.
While we're waiting to see what Johnson does, get HQ to check the make of the car he drives.
Right, sir.
Inspector Marlin?
No, sir. Sergeant Sutton.
I'm John Harvey.
I know, sir.
Do you know where Inspector Marlin is?
Not at this precise moment, sir. Perhaps I could help you. I'm Inspector Marlin, Sergeant.
Were you part of the team that searched Rosenberg's office?
Yes, sir.
And were you present when the files were found?
I was.
I've just read Inspector Marlin's report on the search, and he seems to have certain doubts. Do you know about them?
You mean about where the files were hidden?
Yes.
Well, it was rather an obvious place.
So you think his concern is justified?
Inspector Marlin is a very experienced search officer. If he has doubts, I think they're worth looking into.
Even though those doubts are rather extraordinary.
Sir?
Well, can you explain to me why somebody should go to all the trouble of photocopying classified information simply to lodge it under Rosenberg's floorboards? If it was intended as a plant, surely they would have informed somebody about them.
Well, as yet, we don't know how long the files have been there.
The last entry suggests they were copied at least 8 weeks ago.
Then I don't know, sir. I'd suggest you talk to Inspector Marlin about it.
I intend to, but I'm rather disappointed in him. He seems to be trying to create doubt where it isn't necessary. If you find a known villain in the possession of stolen goods, surely that's all the evidence you need.
I didn't realise Rosenberg was a villain.
He's a political villain. Troublemaker, nice court. To be honest, I don't think we need to clutter up the case against him with niggling, irrelevant doubt.
Cigarette.
Oh, thanks.
Benson?
No, thank you.
Johnson's
certainly isn't hurrying himself.
We might have to wait till it gets dark.
Why don't we call in a relief team?
Because I want to grab him myself.
We'll sit here for hours only to find the car in the lockup isn't the Cortina.
Oh, it's there. I can feel it.
Then why didn't you get a search warrant?
Because if Johnson moves it, I want to see where he takes it.
MP to Foxtrot Leader. Over.
Foxtrot Leader. Over.
Report on cars registered to Arthur William Johnson are as follows. White Granada Saloon. Registration number Alpha November Golf 983 Sierra. And Blue Cortina Saloon. Registration number Alpha Tango Mike 747 Sierra. Over.
Foxtrot Leader to MP. Acknowledged. Many thanks. Over and out.
Do we go in now?
We wait until the garage closes. If he hasn't moved it, I'll get a search warrant.
Only two cars isn't bad for a man who has problems paying his rent.
That's what I was thinking.
I'm rather interested to know why he allowed a car registered in his own name to be used in a break-in.
Blue Cortina Saloon leaving Johnson's garage. Registration number Alpha Tango Mike 747 Sierra. That's it. Complete with twin aerials.
Follow discreetly. Foxtrot Leader to MP. Over.
MP, over.
I'm following Blue Cortina, registration number Alpha Tango Mike 747 Sierra, along Uxbridge Road towards Shepherd's Bush Green. Request surveillance assistance. Over and out.
That help had better come soon. I think he knows we're onto him.
Might have been useful to put a tap on Johnson's phone. At least we might know where he's going in such a hurry.
It would have taken too long to organise.
He speeded up.
Johnson's a villain by nature. You could hardly expect him to observe the speed limit.
I still think he knows we're onto him.
Well, stay as close as you can.
Ah, he's just jumped the lights.
Follow him through.
I can't!
So what went wrong?
I can explain.
I hope you bloody well can. You do realise there are procedures in maintaining surveillance on a suspect?
Yes, sir.
So why didn't you observe them?
I wasn't sure Johnson had the car. I didn't want to tie up a surveillance team on nothing more than a hunch.
So instead you prefer to tie up half the traffic division looking for the car you lost?
That was unfortunate.
I prefer to call it carelessness. So what are you doing about it?
Sergeant Carter is interviewing the employees at the garage. It's possible they might know where Johnson's taken the car. I've also got a search team down there going through his office.
When you came to see me earlier, I told you to be careful. You've been in this business long enough to know that if you do go out on a limb, you're expected to bring something back.
Does Whitehead know what's happened?
Huh. I haven't told him. But you better make sure you've got Johnson safely locked up before he does find out.
Yeah, how's it going, Bill?
Not very well. I've just had a going over by Hunter.
Yeah. What happened?
I messed up a surveillance job.
Oh, that happens to us all from time to time.
Not the way he tells it.
I thought you were working for Whitehead.
I am, at least in theory. Mind you, I get more cooperation from your average villain than I'm getting from him. Hence these files I'm having to plough through.
Who are they?
Mainly soft fruit importers.
Soft what?
They were attending a convention in Brighton over the weekend.
Oh, it sounds fascinating.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, soot is supposed to figure in this somewhere.
Have you found anything?
I don't know. The only people who seem to have anything in common are these three. They're all members of some right-wing group calling itself the Britain Forward for Freedom Party.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of them?
Oh, yes. The BFFP and me are old mates. We had a run-in a couple of years ago. I seem to remember the case left me rather confused.
Who are they?
Well, mainly the sort of people you're reading about. Businessmen, industrialists and the like. Well, I remember there was some civil servant involved, a bloke called Dinsdale. He committed suicide.
What had he done?
Oh, he'd been passing on information. But who to, we never really found out. Security service closed us down.
And how were the BFFP involved?
Well, that wasn't really established either. I don't know whether security came up with anything.
Well, if they did, it couldn't have been very much. They still seem to be operating.
Yeah. That may well be because they have friends in high places. Mm-hmm. I remember we came up with a list of what they were supposed to be their elite membership. Some bloody choice names there were, too.
What about the general membership?
Well, there isn't one. At least not the sort of thing you'd expect. The BFFP don't go in for flag-waving and marching around in jackboots beating up blacks. According to their handouts, they exist to promote free trade and international understanding, whatever that may be.
Do you think they could be involved in this soot business?
Anything's possible with that lot. You read their file, see what you think.
I will. Thanks a lot, John.
Well, if they are involved, I wish you better luck than I've had with them.
I'll let you know.
Right, well, I'd better get a move on. I'm supposed to be chatting up the chief janitor. I'll see you later, Bill.
Cheers.
More?
It's Carter, sir. We've got Johnson.
Well done. Where'd you find him?
He came back to his garage.
Silly man. Where are you now?
Downstairs.
I'm on my way.
Where have you put him?
Five.
Has he made a statement?
Oh, you must be joking. He's still as bloody-minded.
What about the people you interviewed at the garage?
Oh, they were quite different. They couldn't wait to put the boot in. Johnson is not a popular man, especially with his mechanic.
What did he say?
Well, I think our visit upset Johnson far more than he let on. According to the mechanic, we were no sooner out of the door than he was having a shouting contest on the phone.
Did he hear what was said?
No, not enough to make sense of it. But a few minutes later, the phone went again and Johnson had another heated conversation. But that didn't seem to satisfy him much either. It wasn't until he received another call an hour later that he did anything.
And that was to get rid of the car as quickly as he could.
That's right. The other interesting thing I learnt was about Johnson's attitude towards the Cortina. Apparently, he never drove it himself. From what the mechanic said, he seemed more like the minder than the owner.
Did the mechanic ever service it?
Once.
Did he notice a radio?
Yes. Concealed under the front passenger seat with a microphone built into the sun visor.
Just like one of our surveillance cars.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody is well organized. Right. Let's go and sort Mr. Johnson out.
Oh, no.
What did you say?
Nothing.
And sit up straight. Right, Johnson. Where's the car?
Can you take these off?
Listen to him, asking for favours already. Where's a bloody car?
I don't know. That's the truth.
Where's the car?
I told you, I don't know. It was nicked. It's the truth. I stopped for some smokes, and when I come back, the motor had gone.
Listen to it. Do you honestly think I'd waste my time on scum like you if I didn't know you were up to your neck in this business?
I haven't done anything.
This isn't a simple case of breaking and entering, Johnson. Your employers have put you in contravention of the Official Secrets Act.
Eh?
Or didn't they tell you that? Even if this was your first offence, you'd get 10 years.
Here. You're having me on.
I don't need to bluff you.
Are you Special Branch?
He's woken up at last.
They didn't say it was anything like that.
They hardly would they?
I wouldn't have touched it if I'd known. What a bastard! They dropped me rod in it.
They certainly did. So, you don't owe them a thing.
Here, can I have a smoke?
Help yourself.
What about the cuffs?
One favour at a time. I want to hear what you did with the car first. Well?
All right. I'll tell you. When you left, I phoned this number they give me.
What is it?
831-6320.
Who did you talk to?
The name's Martin Ridge. But he wasn't there. He's never there. I reckon the number's a phony.
A relay?
Yeah, that's it. I phone the number, then I phone him and get him to ring me back.
So?
Well, a few minutes later, he called back, and I told him about your visit.
What did he say?
Only that I was to get rid of the motor. At least, I was to take it to an address that he gave me.
He had to phone you a second time?
Yeah. He obviously had to set things up.
What was the address?
Well, he said I was to park outside Bellamy's off-license, that's in Blythe Road, and leave the keys in the ignition. I was to go into the off-license and buy something, which I did. When I come out, the motor had gone. I think they was worried your blokes might find something. Perhaps they were a bit concerned about Dabs. I don't know.
Wasn't it a bit stupid letting them use a car registered in your name?
Well, they didn't tell me they was going to use it for a robbery. Anyway, it isn't my motor.
Then why is it registered in your name?
It's complicated.
We've got plenty of time.
Well, a few months ago, this bloke, Martin Ridge, he come to me and said he wanted me to buy a motor for him. A nice, anonymous one that he could use on special occasions, as he called it.
Come off it.
It's the God's truth. He just paid me rent for the lock-up and any work I did on a motor.
And you did that out of the goodness of your heart?
No. Well, no, not exactly.
So, what was the deal?
A few months ago, I had a bit of trouble. A bit of bad luck, a few bad debts. So I took some money from the garage account to set up. Anyway, come rent day, and I couldn't meet it.
And they wouldn't give you extra time?
That's right. They said the place was a potential gold mine and they wanted to rent it to someone who could do something with it.
So where did you get the money from?
I didn't. One morning, this Martin Ridge bloke turns up and says he's come to survey the place so it could be put on the market. Now, I like that garage. It's not a bad little business. Pays for itself nicely when I'm not being stupid. So I spin him my hard luck story and a couple of days later he comes back with his deal. If I buy the motor, he'll sort things out with the agent, which he does. How he done it, I don't know.
How often has he asked you to hire specialists like John Stiles?
Well, that was the first time, honest.
And you passed on all the information of how Stiles was to meet this couple?
That's right.
And Ridge gave you no idea what he wanted Stiles for?
No.
Take the cuffs off him, Carter.
Oh, tar.
Right, sir.
Constable.
Sir.
Get the post office to find the subscriber's name and address of this number. And you'd better let Traffic Division know where the car was left. Not that I think it'll do them much good.
Right, sir. Good. Yes, thank you very much. The name and address of that telephone number Johnson gave us.
A tobacconist?
That's what they say.
Oh, well.
Carter? I see. Well, we'll have to look elsewhere. Can you run another check for me? Yes, D.K. Wilkins, Blackstock Road, N5. Thank you. Records have nothing on Martin Ridge.
Oh, that doesn't really surprise me.
Do you want me to organize someone to see this Wilkins?
No, we'll go ourselves.
There's an alley alongside the shop, sir.
See where it goes to, Benson.
Right, sir.
And hang about there if there seems to be a back exit from the shop, just in case.
Right, sir.
Come on, Carter.
70, 80, 90, £3, and two is five. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Gentlemen?
Mr. Wilkins?
Yes?
Police. I'm Detective Inspector Moore. This is Detective Sergeant Carter.
Oh.
Do you know why we're here?
I can guess. It's the telephone business, isn't it?
That's right.
I suppose I should have known I was doing something illegal.
Do you know a man called Martin Ridge?
Yes.
Do you know where he lives?
No, I only have a phone number.
And that is?
Well, it's 5890129.
Radio HQ, and get them to find subscriber's name and address.
Right, sir.
And ask them to get another car down here quickly.
Sir.
How much trouble am I in?
Well, that remains to be seen, sir. So, perhaps you'd like to tell me all about this telephone business.
There isn't very much to tell.
Well, let me have what there is.
Well, when someone rings asking for Mr. Ridge, I tell them that he isn't here and that I will get him to call back.
How many people use you?
Just five. There used to be six, but only five now.
Is there a password or a recognition code?
Yes. The person calling says, "Can I speak to Mr. M. Ridge?" And I reply, "The number you want is 916. Of course, 916 doesn't mean anything. And then the caller gives me his code name.
What are the code names?
It's very simple. It's the first five letters of the Greek alphabet.
Tell me, do you have a special telephone procedure to suit this occasion?
A visit from the police?
Yeah.
Well, if I can get to a phone, I was supposed to say, "Mr. Omega is blown."
And you are. Sky high.
Do I have to come with you?
Yes, sir.
What will you charge me with?
Oh, I like to think you're helping us with our inquiries at the moment.
Oh. Do you mind if I ring my wife?
You can do that from HQ.
Thank you.
How long have you been involved in this?
About 18 months.
Are you paid well?
Not directly.
Then what do you get out of it?
A couple of years ago, my lease was due for renewal. Well, this is an up-and-coming area, and I couldn't afford what they were asking.
Go on.
Then one day I had a visit from Mr. Ridge. He said he might be able to negotiate some sort of deal with the agent in return for a favour.
And who are the agents?
Barrow Associates.
Benson?
Sir?
Get back to the car and get onto HQ. I want a complete rundown on Barrow Associates. Tell them it's very urgent.
Right, sir.
Why the sudden interest in them?
Because it's precisely the same setup here as with Johnson. Small business gets into financial trouble, Ridge intercedes and makes some sort of deal with Barrow in return for a favour.
So. You know, I can understand Johnson getting involved with this thing, but Wilkins doesn't strike me as your average villain.
You use your man in the best way you can. Wilkins is probably as honest as most, so you get him to do something that seems fairly innocuous. A man like Johnson you use to do something more risky.
How many more are we going to find like that?
From what Wilkins said, at least four.
Anyway, the post office have come up with an address for the number Wilkins gave us.
Ah, who is it?
It's the office of someone called F.R. Pyatt. He's a surveyor.
Right. Let's get going. We'll radio HQ and tell them what we're up to, and also ask them to run a check on F.R. Pyatt.
Oh, is that the fingerprint report?
Yeah. Very impressive.
Sorry I was so long. I got a bit involved. Right. What does it say?
Well, they haven't told us who copied the files.
Well, I didn't expect that. But why are you so impressed with it?
Well, all they managed to lift from the copies was the tip of an index finger and thumb, where someone had held the corner of the paper. And then they matched it with the same print on the original files. That's bloody clever in the time they've had.
Yeah. Was that the only set of prints on the copied files?
Yeah.
Somebody was being very careful, weren't they? Hmm? Where are the prints of the person who was supposed to have read them? Like Rosenberg's, for example?
Yeah, that occurred to me as well.
Well, Harvey will probably say Rosenberg was wearing gloves when he read the files.
Well, maybe he was cold at the time.
Yeah. Well, there's something wrong somewhere. Come on. The sooner we establish who copied the file, the sooner we get some answers.
Where to?
Records.
There we are, 72.
Pull over.
That must be Pyatt's office on the first floor.
Did we go and get him?
No, we leave him alone for the time being.
Sir?
I don't think this bloke is the end of the line. He may have organised the soot break-in, but I have a very strong feeling you organised it for someone else.
Or Barrow Associates?
It's possible. They're certainly involved in this somehow. If we rush in and arrest him, we might lose the chance of grabbing his employer.
Should we at least check he's still there? For all we know, he may have bolted after Johnson's phone call.
I want you to do that.
How?
Well, the obvious way. You go across to his office and say you want to employ him. The back of your house is subsiding. You want it surveyed. Anything you like. Use your nouse.
What if he isn't there?
Confirm he's expected back today, and then wait. You'll need to get a look at him, so you'll be able to point him out to the surveillance team I'm going to get down here.
And what do we do once we've got him set up?
Panic him.
How?
By getting Wilkins to ring him up and say the magic words, Mr. Omega is blown.
But what if he doesn't panic? He does know we're onto him.
But he doesn't know how close we are. As far as he's concerned, we're still trying to beat the truth out of Johnson. If he hadn't been so cooperative, that could have taken quite a while.
True.
He may feel safe until he knows we've got Wilkins. And that's the point of the phone call.
We've nothing to lose.
What about confirming Pyatt and Ridge are the same man?
Johnson and Wilkins can do that. You get across to the office while we organise the surveillance team.
I'm on my way.
Once they're here, Carter and I will go back to HQ. You stay with the surveillance team until you can point Pyatt out to them and then come back yourself, preferably with some photographs.
Right, sir.
Sir, Isn't it time you told Whitehead what we've found out?
I suppose it is. But I'm not looking forward to it, though.
I've just come from records and have been told that one of your men...
It is customary to knock before entering a room, Harvey.
I am very angry. Inspector Marlin has been carrying on his own investigation. He has removed the files that were photocopied from records.
He was asked to make a separate investigation.
Good God, man. Whatever for?
We have our pride, you know.
Where is Marlin?
I don't know.
Oh.
I have been trying to find him myself.
Are you trying to obstruct my investigation?
Oh, don't be so damn silly.
Well, would you care to find him and tell him to hand over those files immediately?
Would you excuse me? Hunter? Yeah, I see. Right, I'll come down. I can go one better than giving you the files.
What do you mean?
I can give you the person who copied them.
Who is it?
A policewoman in records. Oh, where is she?
Next door.
Has she said anything?
Not much.
Well, you've done a good job, Marlin.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I hope you don't mind if I take over now.
It's your case, sir.
It is. And your interference in it has been noted.
Oh, for God's sake, Harvey, why did you thank him? He saved your days of work.
That remains to be seen.
The stenographer's arrived, Gov.
It's Mr. Harvey's case now.
Oh, I see. Then you'll need this, sir.
What is it?
Personnel file on a suspect.
Hmm. Is there somewhere quiet where I can read this?
Interview room 2's empty.
You'd better come with me, Marlin. I'll need to know the details of what you've found out.
Yes, sir.
Miserable old sod.
He's Pete Sutton.
Here, do you think we could listen to the interview over the intercom, sir?
Why not? It could be quite interesting.
Yes, I know. I'll let you have a written report tomorrow. And I'll continue the surveillance on Pyatt. Right. If you could ask Mr. Whitehead to give me a call when he gets in. Thank you. God almighty. My left ear will never be the same again. It must have lost half a pound in weight.
Who was it?
Whitehead's assistant. He went on and on about the fact I should have reported in earlier.
Well, you expected that.
I know I did. I've forgotten how draining the experience is.
When is Whitehead due back?
He already is.
What?
He's in a meeting at the moment. You realize I may have to go through the whole experience again?
Don't forget to use the other ear.
Oh, shut up. How are you getting on with those files?
The one on Barrow Associates, I finished. There was hardly anything in it.
What does it say?
Seems the only reason there is a file on them is because of their company secretary.
What's he been up to?
About 5 months ago, he was involved in a bit of a scandal. Interestingly enough, with the Britain Forward for Freedom Party.
What was that?
Do you remember the big publicity campaign there was, promoting closer ties with South Africa?
Oh, vaguely.
Well, on the surface of it, it seemed that the campaign was being run by a group of English and South African businessmen. But when someone started totting up the sort of money being spent, questions were then asked as to where it was coming from.
Why?
Because a rough estimate put the cost of the campaign at about £150,000, which was a great deal more than the people running it could afford.
So where had it come from?
The BFFP. But, according to this report, the theory is that the Britain Forward lot were only a front, and that the cash was coming direct from the coffers of the South African Department of National Security.
Boss?
Well, that's what they used to call themselves. But we couldn't prove anything, and then our security people took over.
Was it ever established whether Barrows were involved?
Not by us. And Barrows' company secretary only seems to be involved in a very minor way.
What's his name?
Norman Ashdown.
Well, Norman Ashdown, you've hit the big time with this one.
What, you think he supplied Pyatt with the information about Johnson and Wilkins' financial problems?
Well, he's the company secretary. He'd know, wouldn't he?
Policewoman Snow?
Sir.
My name is Harvey. I'm conducting an inquiry concerning the photocopying of certain classified files. Do you know the ones I'm referring to?
Yes, sir. Inspector Marlin told me about them.
I must confess, I'm surprised about how lax you've been concerning fingerprints.
I could always justify them on the files. After all, I do work in records.
But your prints were on the photocopies as well. Admittedly, not many, but enough to put you in this room with me.
I thought they'd get lost in general handling.
Your friends have been much more cautious. There aren't any of theirs.
Oh.
Indeed. Inspector Marlin tells me your sister is involved in this business as well.
Yes.
Quite a little family business.
It wasn't done entirely out of choice.
So I gather. You maintain you were blackmailed.
Yes.
It'll be interesting to hear how. Now, your sister, Carol Lambert, is that her married name?
Yes, but she isn't married any longer.
How long has she been a member of Rosenberg's group?
Since the summer.
And when did you start copying the files?
About 8 or 9 weeks ago.
How did you start?
Can you believe? Out of concern.
No, but go on.
When Carol told me she joined the organisation to fight fascism, I was concerned about what they were up to. So I decided to look at Rosenberg's files. It was then that I found out we'd photographic teams covering their public meetings, and I was concerned that Carol might be identified as my sister.
Did you tell her what you'd done?
Yes. I was hoping she'd say she wouldn't go to the meetings until the surveillance had stopped. But all she did was to get angry. So I thought I'd try and find out which meetings were being covered so at least she could avoid those.
And did you?
Yes. Not that she took much notice. Because a couple of weeks later she came round to my flat in a great state of agitation and she said she thought she was being followed by Special Branch. I told her she must be mistaken, that she wasn't important enough for us to waste our time on her. But she didn't believe me.
So what did you do?
I checked to see if a file had been opened on her.
Did she ask you to do that?
No. I was as much concerned for myself in case she was right.
And was there a file?
No, but that didn't calm her. For the next month, she was round almost every day to report some incident or other. People following her, strange noises on her phone. She thought her mail was being interfered with.
And all the time, you were checking to see if a file had been started on her?
Yes. I was so worked up by this stage that I thought you knew I was Carol's sister and that the file was being withheld from records.
Go on.
Well, about the beginning of October, Carol said that the OFF had organised a closed meeting and that it was to be attended by a very special guest speaker.
Who was it?
I don't know. They'd given him the code name Darley.
Darley?
Mm. Huh. But Carol said it was important that she knew this meeting wasn't going to be covered. I told her that the photographic surveillance had stopped, but she asked if I could double-check.
Why was she so concerned about this particular meeting?
She was frightened that it might be raided. Apparently this Darley character had entered the country illegally, and if he was caught, the organising committee could go to prison.
Was she a member of the committee?
So she said.
You were doubtful,
Yes. I think she'd told Rosenberg I was supplying her with information and he'd started to use her.
Why do you think that?
Because the following day she asked me if I could find out if Rosenberg's flat had been searched.
Had you checked the Darley meeting for her?
Yes. But I told her that was the last thing I would check. I said if she wanted to be part of such a group, she must take the risks involved.
So, how were they able to blackmail you?
The following evening, a man calling himself Green came to my flat. At first he was friendly, saying he was sorry I felt I couldn't continue to support OFF's cause. He said the information I'd supplied had been used to good effect. He even had the cheek to say that Darley had sent me his personal thanks for my help. I was furious I hadn't done it for them, but for Carol.
Go on.
Well, then he became very nasty and said that he'd inform Special Branch what I'd been up to. I told him I didn't care anymore and he could do what he liked. He then said he'd arranged to have classified information planted in my parents' home and that if I didn't cooperate, we could all go to prison.
Did you believe him?
I didn't know what to believe. But then he threw in for good measure that my friends and relations would be harassed in one way or another and that my parents would be beaten up.
Somewhat idle threat.
Not when he started reading off names and addresses. He knew all about me.
But whatever the reason, you gave in. You supplied them with information.
Yes.
What were they interested in?
At first it was odd bits and pieces.
Always about the OFF?
To begin with. I think they wanted to run me in gently.
What did you photocopy apart from the OFF files?
It was very mixed.
I'll give me an example.
Well, it was mainly the files we kept on the right-wing groups.
Anything else?
No, just political groups.
How did you make the copies?
I smuggled the files out a few pages at a time. Green supplied me with the photocopier.
And how did you receive your instructions?
Via Carol.
Did you ever see Green again?
Yes, about 10 days ago. He'd asked me to copy the file on the Britain Forward for Freedom party. For some reason, he came round to collect the information himself.
Do you know why?
No. But he made a mistake in doing so. I got the registration number of the car he was driving.
Do you have it?
Yes. Here we are. ATM 747S.
I wanted to check who the owner was, but I lost my nerve. I didn't want to draw attention to myself.
Oh, God.
Do you consider that your sister was an innocent party in all this?
Oh, yes. I think she told Rosenberg in good faith. She didn't realize he used to blackmail me.
What a stupid woman.
Yeah, she was used, good and proper.
Well, I better go and see Mr. Armstrong.
Yeah, right, sir.
And while I'm doing that, you can check that registration number and then go and fetch Carol Lambert.
Has he? All right, keep trying. They can't get through to Pyatt's office. He's got his phone off the hook.
Oh, he knows we're on to him.
Then why isn't he doing something? Why is he just sitting there?
Perhaps he's lost his nerve.
Oh, that I don't believe. Anyone who can recruit and use a man like Johnson, break into Soot's flat and spend 4 hours sorting through his filing cabinet is not short on nerve.
Have you got anyone at Pyatt's home?
The duty officer said he was going to arrange for the local police to cover it.
Where does he live?
Surrey.
Marlene. What? Are you sure? Oh. Thanks very much. The car that Snow saw is registered to Johnson. That garage owner Bill Moore picked up.
Yeah.
It turns out it's the same bloody car as used on the Soot break-in.
You mean Rosenberg organised that one as well?
It doesn't make sense. Look, go down to the duty room, collect a policewoman and go and fetch Carol Lambert.
Right, where will you be?
Well, I'm going to have a word with Bill Moore.
Here we are, photographs of Pyatt.
Oh, good.
Who took them?
Surveillance team. You've seen the cameras they use. Great big telephotos, they're amazing.
Oh, he's younger than I thought.
He seemed like quite a nice bloke when I spoke to him.
Where was he going when this was taken?
To buy a newspaper.
Who's this?
That's his secretary.
Aye, she's quite pretty.
Not bad at all.
When you finish drooling, perhaps you'd like to take them down for Stiles and Johnson to look at.
On my way.
And if Johnson recognises Pyatt as being Martin Ridge, check to see if Wilkins agrees. Moore?
This is Martin Cook. What the hell have you been up to, Bill?
What do you mean?
Whitehead has just been told what you've been doing. He's furious. He's screaming for your head.
Why?
Well, I don't know details, but Soot seems to be mixed up in something rather important.
Do you know what?
You realise this line could be monitored? Can't we meet somewhere?
There isn't time. Anyway, you've left it a bit late to start worrying about a tap. You've already said too much. Come on, mate. Tell what you heard. If Whitehead's after me, I'll need to know what it's about so I can prepare some sort of defence.
Yes, all right. But I don't know very much.
Well, tell me what there is.
Have you heard of a man called Van Zogel?
No.
He does a lot of freelance work for the South Africans. Do you remember that convention in Brighton I mentioned?
Mm-hmm.
Van Zogel turned up at the last moment, supposedly representing the Pretoria Soft Fruit Company.
Did he contact Soot?
Yeah. But what seems to have upset Whitehead is what you've discovered about Pyatt.
Why should that bother him?
Because for some reason he doesn't want it known.
Well, that's silly. Why not?
There seems to be others involved.
Do you know who?
Someone called Norman Ashdown and a group called the Britain Forward for Freedom Party.
Was Ashdown in Brighton?
Yeah.
Our people must have missed him.
Look, I've got it.
Hello? Hello? Uh-huh.
What's all that about?
It was Martin Cook. Apparently, Whitehead has blown his top because of what I found out about Pyatt.
Oh, they're never grateful.
It seems Soot might have been passing information to the South Africans.
You're joking.
Well, that's what he seemed to be saying.
Yeah, but why should Whitehead be angry because of what we've discovered?
Because the BFFP are involved.
So what?
I'm sure some sort of explanation will arrive on a thunderbolt from Whitehead very soon.
Am I interrupting?
Oh, not at all.
You look confused.
Oh, that may well be, because I am.
Well, that makes two of us, then. You know that car you found, the one Johnson was babysitting for?
Yeah.
It was also used by someone to collect stuff from Snow's flat.
That's not possible.
Ah.
Unless the OFF have suddenly formed an alliance with the Britain Forward people.
They are definitely involved.
Ah, in one way or another. And I'm pretty sure they picked up the bill for the Soot break-in.
Then someone is telling great big whopping lies. Snow said her sister was a member of the OFF. And that the bloke who came round to her flat was Rosenberg's heavy.
Not if he came in that car.
Then who was he?
Probably a man called Pyatt.
You got a photograph of him?
Yes. Benson's downstairs with it now.
Could you have him show it to Snow?
Yeah, of course. Ring down and ask Benson to do that.
Right, sir.
You realise if Pyatt is involved, your case against Rosenberg goes straight down the bog.
And I don't mind pulling the chain. It's Harvey's case, not mine.
More?
Come upstairs right away when he's finished.
Okay. Here, sir.
Thanks.
Right. Right away. Hunter wants to see me.
Yeah, I think I'll come with you.
I have just come from Mr. Armstrong. He is not pleased.
Sir?
Whitehead has been on the phone to him.
What's been said?
Well, it seems like you overstepped your brief and they don't like that.
It was necessary. I told you there were developments I had to follow up.
And I told you to be careful. We get enough flack from the security service without you going around causing trouble.
Well, what Inspector Moore's discovered does have something to do with what's been happening here.
What are you on about?
The car Snow saw is the same one that was used on the Sook break-in.
So?
I'm fairly sure that the job was organised by the BFFP.
You have evidence?
Well, at the moment, it's circumstantial. But I have the man under surveillance who certainly did the job. I'm hoping that when he moves, he'll supply what's necessary.
Is that Pyatt?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Whitehead is having him brought in.
Oh, that's ridiculous. He's our one positive link.
Look, to be perfectly honest, Moore, I don't want to get involved in an interdepartmental wrangle. If the security service want to bring him in, that's their concern. Hunter?
Benson here, sir. Could I speak to Mr. Moore, please? Well,
is it important?
Yes, sir.
All right. It's for you.
Oh, thank you. Moore?
I'm sorry to disturb you, sir.
It's all right. What is it?
I've just shown the photographs of Pyatt to policewoman Snow. She says it was the man who came to her flat.
She's sure?
Positive. And that's not all. I had the photograph of Pyatt's secretary with me, and Snow says it's her sister.
Good God, have you shown them to the others?
Yes, it was like passing around family snapshots. Everyone knew everyone else. Stiles confirms that Pyatt and Lambert accompanied him on the soot job. Johnson confirms Pyatt is Martin Ridge.
Well done. I'll see you back at the office. Now, the case against Rosenberg has just collapsed.
What?
Lambert is no more a committed member of Rosenberg's group than I am. She's Pyatt's secretary. She accompanied him on the soot break-in. She's just been identified. And so has Pyatt, as the man who went round to Snow's flat. And before you say it, there is no way Rosenberg could have organised the soot break-in. Pyatt is working for the Britain Forward lot.
Look, if I'm allowed to speak, there's still the little matter of the files in Rosenberg's office.
That was just a plant to add credence to Lambert's story about being a member of the OFF.
And getting Lambert to tell Snow she was working for the OFF is typical of the way Pyatt works. It puts up a barrier. Snow is blown, and all we finish up with is nothing but a pack of lies.
Even Harvey would admit Snow wasn't the most willing of partners. Look at the way she left her dabs on everything. It was almost as though she wanted to be caught.
Oh, God, you two make my life difficult. How circumstantial is Pyatt's involvement with the BFFP?
Oh, fairly strong. If you could let me have another couple of hours.
Hunter? Yeah? I see. All right, I'll let Mr. Armstrong know. Well, it seems the Pyatt business is resolved.
Sir?
He was shot dead while resisting arrest.
What happened?
Whitehead ordered Pyatt's arrest. When they went up to fetch him, he pulled a gun. They shot him in self-defense.
Only it was suicide.
What, sir?
The gun was a toy. It's probably what he went to buy when Benson saw him go to the newsagent. They found the box the gun was in his waste paper basket.
Sergeant Carter. Oh, yeah, he's here. It's for you, sir, Sergeant Sutton.
No, sir.
Why do you think Pyatt set himself up like that?
Oh, I suppose he was finished. All he had to look forward to was at least 20 years inside.
I suppose so. Just seems a wee bit drastic.
Excuse me, sir. Report from the Surrey Police.
Yeah, I'll see you later.
What? Oh, thank you. Well, that's it.
What?
Pyatt's house has been cleaned out, down to the last cobweb.
Who by?
They don't know.
Probably the same people who did Lambert's flat.
They don't leave anything to chance, do they?
No. I'd better put out a general call on her.
Moore? All right, sir. I'll be right down. Harvey. He wants a word.
Sit down, please.
Sir?
Well, Inspector, to use the modern parlance, you've really screwed things up, haven't you?
Sir?
Why didn't you tell us about Pyatt sooner?
There was no one to report to. Mr. Whitehead was in Brighton, and his assistant was at the Home Office.
That's a bit lame, isn't it?
It also happens to be true.
So you decided to go ahead?
Yes, sir.
In spite of the warning Superintendent Hunter gave you?
By then, I was already committed to the case. I couldn't just leave it in mid-air.
Well, in continuing, you have blown what amounts to 2 years' work.
Would you care to explain?
How much do you know about this soot business?
Only from the point of view of Pyatt's involvement.
Well, first of all, soot worked for us, in spite of the impression Martin Cook may have given you. Officially, he was an economist, an advisor specializing in trade with the Third World and Africa in particular. About 2 years ago, he met a man called Van Zogel. Now, this Van Zogel had a freelance espionage network covering several African states. And as Soot's work necessitated a great deal of traveling, it wasn't long before he'd been recruited as a courier.
When did you learn this?
We knew from the very beginning. I told you, Soot was our man. And we benefited greatly from what he had to carry.
I see.
Unfortunately, about 6 months ago, Soot had a heart attack and therefore had to take life easier. Now, Van Zogel had always boasted of a network he had in this country, but was very cagey about names or details. Needless to say, we very much wanted to know who these people were. So once Soot was back on his feet, he contacted Van Zogel and told him that he wanted to continue working for him. At first, Van Zogel was reluctant about introducing him to his network until Soot had proved his good faith. I think Van Zogel felt being a courier was one thing, but actively spying was another. Anyway, under our supervision, Soot started supplying him with information and...
How did he deliver?
Via a dead letterbox, which didn't help us very much. But about 2 weeks ago, Van Zogel asked to see a copy of a very confidential report. In fact, it was the biggest thing he'd requested. And it gave us the opportunity of insisting it was handed to a contact and not left in a hole in the ground.
And Van Zogel agreed?
Yes, and that's what the meeting in Brighton was about. Soot's formal introduction to Van Zogel's network.
With the master himself present.
Right.
Only Soot died.
Yes, I assume with an already weakened heart the strain proved too great for him.
Do you know when he died?
We believe it was during the meeting.
But why did they overreact in such a way? I mean, hiding a body and breaking into Soot's flat seems a bit excessive.
Not at all. Soot was booked into a hotel under an assumed name with a highly confidential document in his possession. Being presented with that, the investigating authority could only come to one conclusion.
That he'd taken it there to show somebody.
Right. Yeah. Now, Soot had been Van Zogel's courier for 18 months. He knew his contacts in Africa, pick-up places, the whole routine of his setup. The world of espionage being what it is, you can never really afford to trust anyone. I think Van Zogel considered it vital to check Soot's flat to confirm there weren't any records about his African network. And if he did that, he might as well return the file.
Why not just steal it?
He probably learnt all he wanted from it, and to steal it would again have drawn attention to the meeting and therefore possibly risked his network in this country. You must remember that breaking into Soot's flat wasn't a big problem. He already had the people on hand capable of doing it.
Pyatt?
Precisely.
Why didn't you have Soot under surveillance?
We did.
Oh, weren't they suspicious when Soot went missing?
They weren't there for his benefit, but to follow who he met.
You know who the contact is?
Huh? Norman Eschstein.
The company secretary of Barrow Associates?
That's right.
And what about the three businessmen that were down there, the other BFFP members? Were they involved?
We think before agreeing to meet Soot, Van Zogel had already arranged to visit this country.
To meet them?
Yes. Van Zogel arrived in Brighton as a representative of the Pretoria Soft Fruit Company. In that guise, he'd be able to meet and talk with them without arousing any suspicion. The convention was a perfect venue.
Did they meet him?
No. I think after Soot's death, Van Zogel wanted to get out of the country immediately and he went straight to the airport. Incidentally, those three gentlemen left Sunday morning for a protracted business tour.
Why didn't you grab Van Zogel?
We didn't want him. We thought we could learn all we wanted via surveillance of Eschstein. And to try and hold Van Zogel would not only have caused a great deal of fuss, but also alerted his people over here. And They seem to be very good at disappearing, as Ashton and Lambert have shown.
Oh, no.
Yes. We lost him when he changed trains for the third time. Thanks to you, Pyatt must have contacted Ashton the moment he knew you were onto him.
But there's still the BFFP. Why don't you go in and bust them?
Because they're not all involved in Van Zogel's network. Apart from the fact that they have quite a lot of influential members, you can't just go in and grab them by the scruff of the neck and shake a confession out of them. You have to have proof.
Why didn't you tell me what was going on? You would have saved all this trouble.
We didn't think it was necessary, as we expected you to stick to your brief.
But what you asked me to do was pointless. You already knew everything about Soot.
Oh, dearie. Soot had booked into a hotel under an assumed name. His body had been moved after his death. It would be expected that an investigation would take place, that we would want to know what he was doing in Brighton. That's why you were assigned to check his movements prior to his Brighton visit. It was important that it was seen we were reacting in the proper way, following procedure that would be expected, just in case we were being watched.
It was all show.
Yes. We didn't know how extensive Van Zogel's network was, so we decided the fewer people who knew the truth about Soot, the better the security. That's the reason you weren't told.
What will happen to me?
Oh, I don't know. That is yet to be decided.
It's amazing. The only person who'll be grateful for what I've done is Rosenberg.
I wouldn't hold out too much hope, even there.
How did it go?
He wasn't very pleased.
They've released Rosenberg.
That doesn't cheer me up.
What did Harvey say?
Basically, that I blew their chance of identifying a South African spy network in this country.
You mean there's more than Pyatt?
There are four others they know about.
Does that include the people in the house clearing business?
No. Oh, I don't know. The system doesn't work anymore. There's too much secrecy. No one tells you what's going on.
It's always been like that.
It's getting worse. Whitehead could have saved all this trouble if he'd told me what it was about.
Ah, but they don't work like that.
I think I'm getting too old for this caper. I like things straightforward, to know who the villains are. Cases nowadays are like switchbacks. You never know which direction you'll be travelling in next.
No, you don't want to get maudlin about it.
But at least the mess I've made of this business will sort things out one way or the other. I'll either be out on my ear or back to CID. Or if I'm really lucky, the uniform branch.
Well, these might help you.
What?
These.
What are they?
Telephone numbers. You remember, Wilkins had five people who used him. Johnson was one. There are still four more. Pyatt might be dead, but his team lives on.
Oh, I suppose that's something to present in mitigation. Oh, I'm going home.
See you tomorrow, Bill.
I wouldn't bank on it.
In Switchback by Eric Sayward, Detective Inspector Marlin was played by John Hollis and Detective Inspector Moore by Roger Hume. Detective Sergeant Sutton, Terry Malloy. Detective Sergeant Carter, Sean Barrett. And Detective Superintendent Hunter, Manning Wilson. John Harvey, Hayden Jones. Detective Inspector Miles, Jack Holloway. John Stiles, Stephen Hancock. Wilkins and Head of Records, Ray Llewellyn. Martin Cook, Alan Devereux. W.P.C. Snow, Patricia Gallimore, Arthur Johnson, Michael Kilgariff, and Detective Constable Benson, Tim Brawley. The play was directed in our Birmingham studios by Roger Pine.